Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars. Topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the GSMC Basketball Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Jeff Malinoff, and with me is Mark Souza. We got a lot to talk about in the world of basketball, mostly Anthony Davis and where he may lie by the deadline. But I think that we will talk mainly about his LA Lakers destiny, if that's going to ever happen or not. Also, we got some important games tonight, two of the best teams in the East going at it. Also, we'll talk about the Warriors and if they're able to lose again. My guess is not. And also, anything else we need to talk about, we will discuss. But first, Anthony Davis. New Orleans has said they do not want to deal him to LA Lakers at this time. Does this put a damper on will he be a Pelican or not by the deadline?
I think he will be a part of the New Orleans Pelicans. After the deadline, I think he'll be a Pelicans player until this summer, where I think that will be where he is eventually traded. When he's eventually traded will be this summer. Where will remain to be seen. I'm not sure where that is, but I do think unless a team, let's just say the Lakers, for example, comes in with just an over-the-top, ridiculous offer they can't refuse, I see them holding on to him because I don't see his price being better now than it will be in the summer when more teams, including an important team, the Celtics, can get involved in the summertime. So, yes, teams will be looking for a playoff push now. But realistically, how many of these playoff teams can add Anthony Davis and have a chance to win the NBA championship? There's not too many because we all figure the
Honestly,
Warriors are...
you don't think the Lakers can make a run?
I don't think the Lakers can win the NBA championship this year with Anthony Davis. Absolutely not. But does it make them better? Absolutely.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Toronto.
Toronto is interesting, but I don't think that they have an offer that's good enough for the Pelicans.
Well, we've said this before and you've agreed to me. I said this before and you agreed with me that they have one of the deepest teams in basketball. So they have to get rid of a lot of their deepness to be, well, shallow when they have Anthony Davis. But
I think the Lakers should do it 100%, and I think they should offer all of their young players. I don't even question that for a second. But they would still need another player to challenge the Warriors, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They'd still need
another
player in the summer to sign with them. Kyrie, for example, Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, one of these guys, right? So
absolutely.
That's where I'm at with.
There's also talk about the Bucks making an offer, and him with Giannis may be the most dangerous duo I've ever heard of. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, it'd be pretty crazy. The only thing is, I think about the Bucks off the top of my head, I'm like, they don't have not even a single player that I think would be interesting to New Orleans. Like, who could they?
It would
possibly
be
Chris Middleton. Like, that's maybe, really
but it would be an interesting situation, but they said they would do their best to make a move. So I don't know what they're going to make a move there for, but also on the fact of the matter is everyone's going to try to make a move, and whoever gets Anthony Davis will immediately be more than playoff contenders because
I think
he's
Lakers
going to
are
a playoff
team. I think the Lakers are the one team that could possibly make a move now for him because they have the assets. They have the young players, and the fit makes perfect sense. But I don't know if there's another team currently before the trade deadline that can offer the Pelicans enough that they would rather just trade him now than to hold him and trade him later to see if they can get even more.
Well, let me ask, if you're the Pelicans, would you, if you you have to trade him by the deadline, just
I hold him.
Hypothetically.
Oh, well.
Hypothetically, you have to trade him by the deadline. Do you take him to the East or you take him to the West?
But hold on. But why hypothetically would I have to trade him? This is what I'm curious.
You will,
like, it seems like a weird, like, ultimatum.
You'll have to pay a massive contract, even if he wants to leave or not. You'll still have to pay off a huge contract, and just a waste of money. This is to get out of a huge contract option.
I just don't know.
Hypothetically.
Well, hypothetically, I guess. Well, it should be noted they don't have to trade him at all.
Yeah, I know, but hypothetically, they have a gun to their head. You have to trade him for the
deadline.
I'm just
trading him for the best offer. I'm not trading. It doesn't matter. I don't care where he goes.
You don't care East or West?
No, because I'm trying to save my franchise. I'm trying to put my franchise in a better position to win tomorrow than it is today. And there's no trade that's out there that will make me a contender right away. So I know that the team getting him is probably going to win the championship or be a contender for a championship, and my team will not be for a year or two. But I just have to make the best move for my franchise, get the best assets in return. It doesn't matter if it's L.A.
Golden State has
where.
Traded Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, and DeMarcus Cousins for Anthony Davis.
No, I fully expect the Warriors to be a team that goes after Anthony Davis in the offseason.
So they're going to have to get rid of, like, what, Clay and Draymond?
Anthony Davis, it's been talked about a lot in NBA circles. Anthony Davis is the long-term goal for the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors envision a team of Curry, Clay, and Davis. That's what they envision.
So do you think like, no Durant in their future? I think that's obviously obvious, but...
Yeah, I don't think Durant's coming back.
So do you trade him this season?
No, because you have to win a championship.
If you offered him for Davis, you wouldn't take that deal?
I wouldn't take the deal for the Pelicans.
I see.
Because Kevin Durant's going to be a free agent. He's not going to sign with your team.
True.
He's going to go play with
just
the
be nice
Lakers
to have
or
him.
The Knicks. Or... I'm not trading for a star if I'm the Pelicans that doesn't have multiple years on his contract left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're basically just giving away...
I'm just coming up with ideas. I'm not saying these are great ideas. I'm just saying ideas.
Yeah, there's...
But are we going to live in a world where actually we're going to see Davis, Curry, Clay on the same team?
It's definitely possible.
I'm assuming Draymond is the one that's going to be left out into the cold.
I don't know if the Warriors would have enough to trade for Anthony Davis. I don't think they would. But you'd have to imagine, like, a Draymond Green package, but I don't think the Warriors have anything else to offer. So I think mm-hmm. their goal is to get him in free agency in 2 years. So
you think they're not going to make an offer?
It's possible that they do, but
do you think they should be patient though in the long run? Would it be cheaper or better off, like, not getting rid of players and just signing them to a massive deal? Because they have Curry on Supermax, we know that. They got to get Clay probably a max deal himself, and then they have room for one more max deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be for Davis. So that's where Draymond gets left out, because we know Cousins is gone at the end of the season. That's a foregone conclusion,
right?
So it's obviously looking like Draymond Green's gonna be not playing for the Warriors for very long.
I don't necessarily think that, but if you have the option of getting Anthony Davis, and it requires you to let Draymond Green go.
I just have a feeling.
I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I have a feeling if they're going after Davis, they'll have to get rid of Draymond. I feel like they can't have both.
Yeah, obviously not. They can't.
So when Davis, in that 2 years, when Davis is available, they'll have to just release Draymond and push as hard as they possibly can for Davis, which I think they will
get. Draymond's new deal will be up. His contract will be up the same time as Davis's, so they would go into the same offseason.
Yeah, that's why they'll have to offer one of those guys the deal, and they could obviously offer it to Davis. That was what I meant. They'll have to let the option of him go.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably the right move, because Draymond, like, there's no comparison between Davis and Draymond. No disrespect, just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And if this does happen, if Davis does go to the Warriors, it's just,
who knows?
I can miss all 82 games and say, oh, the Warriors are in first. And
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. That's it's too hard to say what's going to happen 2 years from now. So, I mean, at that point,
if Curry,
Curry could
Davis
be,
and Klay.
Yeah, but at that point, Curry and Klay might not be as good as they are now. I mean, we don't know that. True. They're not superhumans like LeBron James, where they're going to be 35 years old and still arguably the best player in the NBA. So, you know, Curry and Klay will be in their 30s in 2 years. Who knows?
Maybe. Well, but yeah. I think they're still going to be very key players and star players at that time.
Mm-hmm. It's possible. I don't know. We don't know what their longevity is going to be, especially Curry. He's a small guy. He has gotten hurt too. Like, we don't know. He could be an injury prone player in 2 years. I'm not saying that will happen, but it's not easy for me just to be like, oh, in 2 years Curry will still be the best point guard in the NBA or a top five player. I don't know. He might be.
It's very likely, in my opinion. But yes, it could not happen. That's also a fact. But I think that the thing is, if Curry's not at that level in 2 years, does that make it a less attractive spot for Davis?
Possibly, yeah. It could.
Because then it looks like, then if that happens, it'll feel like he'll go to LA then, because LeBron will still have 2 years left on his deal. If I'm doing the math right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I think we're making too much of this. I'm pretty sure Anthony Davis is going to be a Laker. Like, I'm 90% sure Anthony Davis will be on the Lakers. I don't know if that'll be this year or next year, but it'll happen. When his contract is up, I think he will be on the Lakers.
Well, before the foregone conclusion, apparently, that he's going to be on the Lakers, we still have to think of other situations.
The problem is I don't know if he's going to get traded before he goes to Lakers, if there's going to be another
team. If he's not traded before the deadline, he's sitting out the season. I just don't see him.
Well, yeah, that's something that we talked about the other day.
And it looks like it's going to be a very likely
possibility. I know that was like right when it happened, my point of view was definitely like they should sit him. Send him home because...
Don't even have him on the bench.
Yeah, don't even have him on the bench because you want to lose the rest of your games and get the best draft pick possible. He's already...
Fight for Zion.
He's already... Yeah, play to get a top five pick.
And you're obviously not going to get the worst record, but you still have an opportunity to get the first pick because of the new rules of the lottery.
Yeah, if you're in the top five or top six, you have a pretty decent chance of getting the number one pick, so do that. So do that and try and get that pick. But the problem is that Dell Demps, we hear, is not answering his phone. Mm-hmm. The general manager of the Pelicans, which I think is probably one of the most asinine things I've heard in a while, because you have to answer
your phone. Is that being just stubborn? Or just like in denial or of some kind?
I don't know if this is some sort of political play here where he's like...
They get a statement?
Trying to make sure that it's a crazy offer that comes his way. Like he's saying, like, I'm not going to pick up my phone unless... all these boxes are checked for an offer. I don't know. But it does sound super petty. It sounds very unintelligent, if I'm being honest. I mean, you got to hear people out. Even if your counter to any offer they make is a ridiculous counter offer, you got to pick up the phone, man. You got to pick up the phone. You got to talk to people. You have to use your words to get what you want, not use your silence.
Yeah, absolutely. Like... being silent, it's like him going, la, 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 I'm not listening to you, la, 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 la. You know, like a child.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I saw it, mainly. And it's just, it was a very, when I heard about it, it was just like, really? You're really just going to ignore people? Like, it's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, the trade deadline's coming up, so technically it might go away, all things considered. But you're still going to get calls throughout the season talking. Like, you're still going to get people asking about it. It's not just going to go away completely. It's still going to be a topic of conversation. It's going to be the topic of the whole Pelican season until he's officially traded. Or he's done with that contract.
Mm-hmm. So, should Davis be traded before the summer? If you're the Pelicans, should you trade him now or should you wait?
And you know what? I would like to just see some offers and see how they look. Because what's the harm in looking at offers, right?
Yeah, there's no harm in talking. No harm at all.
And you can always just say no to those offers and say, you know what? You can offer something better in the summer. But You know, look at the offers. If there's something amazing right now that you think, wow, the Lakers are offering this much or so-and-so is offering this much, we can't say no to that. Because why not? Like you said, there's no harm in looking. No harm in checking it out.
The one thing I would wonder is whatever the best offer is from the Lakers, what's the incentive of the Pelicans making that move now and not just waiting till summer? Because I'm sure the Lakers will still offer the same thing.
The thing is, I think teams will be in a rush because the deadline is coming up to make an offer just to see if they can get Davis before to make a run type of thing. That's the only reason I would say, like, look at them, because I think there's going to be a lot of offers that are going to be a little more attractive now because we're in the middle of the season. We know how teams are going to fit into the playoff spot. We know there's potential for some teams that are outside the playoffs looking.
It's just a lot harder to trade now. It's way harder because, A, you have to worry about the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
In the summer, you don't have to worry about the salary cap. You don't have to make a move that will affect the cap.
I just think some teams might rush it and oversell, overprice.
The only thing is that you know how the NBA is, so
they can always reject it.
What I'm saying is there's not many teams that he can even offer the Pelicans anything. Like, there's probably two or three teams that can even offer them a somewhat decent offer right now. Whereas in the summer, you open it up to 10, 15 teams. You open it up to...
hell, all 30.
Yeah, you open it up to the team that's getting the number one pick in the draft. You open up to the team that's getting the number two pick in the draft.
Okay, hear me out. If they bench him the rest of the season, they trade deadline, that nothing happens, and they end up getting the number one pick in the draft, what happens then?
If the Pelicans get the number one pick in the draft, then they trade him?
Like, what's the trade going to be? Is the trade going to be...
why would the trade be any different?
Just we're saying, like, they can't go after the number one pick if they already have it. Do you think there'll be maybe they'll look at it like, oh, okay, we're going to get Zion. We can add some...
it would be great. It won't change what they are looking for, right? Anthony Davis is an asset in himself. Like, it doesn't, just because they have the number one pick doesn't mean his value goes down. His value stays the same. So let's just use the Lakers for an example. If they offer Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, and a first round pick for Anthony Davis, and that's what they offered now, and that's what they offer then, and that's the best offer available at the time, okay, then you might do it. But I just don't see how Davis's value goes down. And I don't see how any team other than the Lakers can really make a huge offer for him right now. So if you let the Celtics get involved in the summer, which it sounds like they may be heavily involved, then you may force the Lakers to even raise their trade.
Like, add Hart or add a couple more players or add more draft picks.
Add two first-round draft picks. Add Zubats and another first-round pick. I have no idea. I really don't. I'm just saying, like, the Lakers kind of know right now that they're the only team that really has a play for him. So they will lowball him.
Okay. And then when it comes down to the summer, you got the Warriors and Celtics fighting now.
And then you have the Raptors. And then you have
the Bucks.
And then you have Sacramento. Like, every team. Like, literally every team. Houston.
I don't know why you would add Sacramento to that list. I don't think there's any way that's happening.
What do you mean? They have as much to offer as the Lakers or more. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, is that I'm not using them specifically, but they're a young team with a lot of young assets. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are other teams other than the Lakers that have three decent young players. And to be quite frank with you, I think the Lakers' young players are very overrated. Very overrated. And you look at the Celtics, look at what the Celtics young players did last year. Oh, I don't know. They only got, you know, somewhat close to making an NBA Finals appearance. A team full of young players. Whereas the Lakers young players, what did they do? Win 35 games? Win 38 games?
The thing is, with the draft, not a lot of players come out of the gate becoming playoff contenders. That's why I think people are misconceiving the draft, because you got to have these players develop. You got to have them marinate a little bit, have them play against these real competitors in the NBA, and then see what they can do.
Let me ask you a hypothetical.
Okay.
What trade would you rather have if you're the Pelicans? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram in a first-round pick. You got that down?
Yeah.
Or Buddy Hield, Bogdan Bogdanovich, Bagley, and a first-round pick. From the Pelicans. I'm not saying that the other teams have to... I'm not saying the Kings would do this or the Lakers would do this. I'm just saying from the Pelicans, which offer is more attractive to you?
Well, the thing is, Kuzma's been playing at a very high level, so he'd be one of the main guys I would look at.
Mm-hmm.
And Ingram has had a great game the other night, and I don't know if that's a sign of things to come or that was just a fluke. And Lonzo Ball, obviously, he doesn't want to play with the Pelicans, but that's not up to him. Or, I'm sorry, his dad doesn't want to play with the Pelicans. Maybe I should be more specific. Because they say his quote-unquote camp. But then, I just don't think the... I honestly would just probably prefer... See, that's a tough one because of the fact that first-round pick might be completely different on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But...
My only point is that the Lakers' offer right now seems really attractive, but there are other teams that could offer
If you add me Hart with the Lakers, then I take that.
No, I don't think...
Even add me Zubac to that.
I don't think in a million years that the Kings would make that offer because they know that he won't stay in Sacramento. But you could see how another team may be in on him, right?
Honestly, like I just see mainly the higher market teams making the offer because
sure,
I feel like...
Sure. You could see the Knicks. But what if the Knicks get the number two pick in the draft, okay? Let's say the Knicks don't get the one, but they get the number two. But they can offer a package of Kevin Knox, Kristaps Porzingis, Tim Hardaway, and a first-round pick, which is the number two pick. That could be an interesting move, too.
Absolutely.
You know, but that won't be done until the summer because the Knicks can't offer that right now, right? Because they don't know where they're going to pick. And the Pelicans can't just say, oh, I'll get your draft pick. That's a top five pick, but it's different if it's a number one pick or a number two pick, something like that.
Or a number five pick.
But yeah, exactly, number five.
If the lottery system did not change this year and it was effective next year, then they could probably offer a little bit more because their percentage would be a lot higher than they would be now.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right.
Anyways, the Pelicans lost to the Nuggets last night. They played pretty hard. Anthony Davis left the bench with about 8 minutes left in the game. That was interesting.
Suspicious.
They also didn't have him in the intro video.
He's going to be the topic of conversation for the rest of the year, isn't he?
Yeah. So that was a interesting, notable thing that happened last night was Anthony Davis was removed from the intro video for the team. What are your thoughts about that?
I think it's kind of petty, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to... Like, you're getting hurt over him asking for a trade, just leave him out of an intro video. Like, you're going to edit the... I don't know who comes up with the idea to actually edit that, but you actually have the idea to say, okay, we got to go in and just take him out of our intro. Like, he's still there. He's not gone yet. So, you're just being like... It's like almost your feelings are hurt almost. And this is nothing personal.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis has nothing against the city or any of the staff in New Orleans. He just wants to go to a contender. You can't blame the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. What do you say we go to break?
Sure, but I would want to talk to you first about investing, because when investing and planning for your retirement, it's always best to get advice from the experts. Best-selling author Harry Dent, America's number one economist, says the dark window is open. There's an opportunity to rapidly boost your retirement savings before the greatest stock market crash in American history. But this dark window won't be open for long. You can make up to 10 times the annual average stock market gain in just a few short months. You can find out more by going to www.harrydentforecast.com. There's a very short time to take advantage of this dark window. So once again, you can go to www.harrydentforecast.com to learn more.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. Just finished talking about the Anthony Davis situation. And now we're going to move on to actually some pretty important games today. We got two top teams from the East. Well, the two top teams from the East squaring off. And that is Bucks-Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
In Toronto.
Yes. That's tonight's game. But what about the recent action that's gone on? Are we moving past that, or what's going on?
Explain.
I'm saying, what about the games that actually happened? Or, you know, I mean,
we're jumping ahead
to the upcoming games.
Well, this game, I feel like, has more importance than the games that happened really yesterday.
Okay.
This is a big-time game.
Yeah, it's a big game. It's a regular season game. It's the last time they play before the playoffs, assuming they both see each other.
I'm going to assume they see each other when it comes down to the Eastern Conference Finals, if I had to make a prediction.
Quite possible. We can't rule out the Sixers and the Celtics just yet.
I know, but how these two teams are looking right now, I don't see them slowing down anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, it's easy to say that, but the way that the Celtics and the 76ers have looked, especially in the last month, they're going to have something to say about that. I really think that's true. But regardless, we saw some games last night that were interesting. I wouldn't say that there wasn't any games that were not important.
Well, there was the Nuggets beating the Pelicans, like you were saying before. And also Carl Anthony Towns beating the Grizzlies off that buzzer beater. And
it's a big win for the Timberwolves.
And the Celtics destroying the Hornets, 126-94. Bulls winning a game, that's also pretty shocking. Pacers losing their third straight, which is showing how much Oladipo meant to that team.
Yeah, the Pacers now, they're in fourth. They fall behind Philadelphia, and Boston's only half a game behind them. So Philadelphia could be in fifth place in just a couple days
here. You mean Indiana?
Indiana, excuse me. Well, I guess they both could technically. They're all right there. But yeah, no, that 3-5 in the Eastern Conference
is
tight. There's only one game difference from 3-5. Philly, Indy, and Boston. But yeah, like you said, Indiana with the three losses in a row after losing Oladipo, it's easy to see how that team is probably not going to sustain their level of play without Oladipo.
True. Very true. He is a hole in this team after losing him.
Boston's playing really good, though.
Boston is winning games.
Yeah, they've won 7 of the last 10. They're now at 3 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They're just looking more formidable night in, night out. I just think their consistency is raising. They've always been good, but now I think they're bringing it every night. You know, a crushing win last night. They beat Charlotte by 32 points. That's good. You got to have nights like that. If you're going to be an elite team, you got to have nights like that. Jaylen Brown. And this is interesting. Remember, Jaylen Brown's one of their young, good players, right?
Yeah.
He's a possible trade for Anthony Davis. He would be part of that package more than likely. 30 minutes last night, 24 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 18 shots off the bench.
Yeah.
So he could be a player. Jason Tatum, 20 points, 5 rebounds. We all know about Jason Tatum.
Who?
We know about Terry Rozier, another young player. 17 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds for him. Gordon Hayward, 12 points off the bench. Boston, man, they're a deep team. When they can put it all together,
yes.
That team
they
is.
They struggled this season definitely at the beginning. People really questioned why are they so low already because of the fact we all said they were going to be the dominant team. But now they're starting to play we thought they were going to play at the beginning of the season.
They did all this with no Kyrie.
Kyrie's been a bit of a question mark to me ever since he called LeBron. because it's like, what do you mean? Like, I understand you're talking about being a leader and such, and you're it sounds like you're regretting something. It just, there's a lot of there's a lot of doubt to my mind about Kyrie Irving at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's everyone's mind, because it just feels like he's regretting his decision to ask for a trade, to leave, to go to another team and be the guy, because I think he now understands LeBron a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just...
Maybe Kyrie will be on the Lakers next year with Anthony Davis and LeBron.
He actually said something about he's not opposed to it.
Of course not.
If that actually happens, I'm actually angry if I'm a Cavs fan.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, really, you left to see and you just left us high and dry, and then you're going to say I'm sorry and go back to LeBron crying? Like, that's how I would feel, personally.
Mm-hmm.
So I would feel a little cheated, wouldn't you?
I don't know. We'll see, though. We know how the NBA is.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't shock me at all if Kyrie's playing with the Lakers next year. It really wouldn't.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Timberwolves, though. They get a big win last night over a Grizzlies team that is obviously fallen off a cliff in the last
month.
Might
be the first pick team, to be honest with you.
Isn't that crazy? They have 20 wins right now, but I think they've won like 3 of their last 20 games. They're 1-9 in their last 10. They don't win anymore at all. They're winning at a rate like Cleveland, like New York, Phoenix. They started off really hot. I remember we talked about them the first 2 months of the season, how they were a possible playoff team. I did kind of see this coming, but not this hard. Like, I didn't think they were going to be a playoff team, but I didn't think they'd just completely fall off.
They were, at one point, I believe, the first seed, if I'm not mistaken.
They might have been in that early few weeks. Yeah, they may have been.
I've heard of teams drop, but this is ridiculous. This is a whole new level of drop.
They're 9 games out of the playoffs. And I think a month ago they were like 1 game out.
Man, maybe even, time flies.
Even better. The T-Wolves, though, they keep their hopes alive. They're only 3 games behind the Clippers for the 8 seed. So, I don't know. I don't see Minnesota as a playoff team. I think Sacramento is probably the only team that has a breathing chance of making the playoffs in the West other than the teams in front of them. Like, the Lakers are on the outside looking in right now, but they could change that if the Clippers kind of fall out, which a lot of people expect. Maybe San Antonio starts losing some games. I don't know.
Well, yeah, they just got to hope for a lot of different scenarios. It's one of those.
Minnesota, Dallas, New Orleans, I don't see them making the playoffs at all.
Yeah, that I think. Timberwolves.
They're all under 500 currently.
Yeah, I'm not going to leave them all out as of yet because this is the West after all, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Because the West changes as frequently as insert exaggeration here.
You see Luka tear it up at the Garden last night?
He was tearing up my garden?
Yes.
What? But how did he get to my house?
Google Maps.
Better to go check on my tomatoes when I get home.
Yeah, 16-8-5 for Luka, but he had a couple impressive shots. It looked like he was enjoying himself playing at the Garden for the first time. Dirk Nowitzki, man, 14 points last night. 14 points for Dirk. Still playing.
Does he need to prove anything else?
No.
Why is he playing?
He wants to play, man. He loves the game. The Bulls got a rare win last night. 105-89 over the Heat. At Miami, how demoralizing is that loss for the Heat?
Pretty demoralizing.
Will you get blown out at home by the Bulls?
Arguably the worst team in the NBA.
Yikes.
Yeah. Big yikes. Super yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Ultra yikes.
Miami is 24-25, but of course, They look like a playoff team because they play in the East.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, Brooklyn is 28 and 24 right now. They're only 4.5 games behind fifth place in the East. I think Brooklyn might be the fifth place team by the season end. What do you think?
Wait, that's a bold statement,
well,
sir.
Well, the Pacers are only 5 games ahead of them, but the Pacers are obviously trending in the wrong direction.
Okay. I can see it. It's not impossible.
8-2 in their last 10 for Brooklyn, just playing really good ball. I don't know if it'll continue, but based on what we've seen over the last few weeks, their players have improved so much. Their team has improved so much from the beginning of the year. Maybe they sneak into a top 5 seed or so.
Okay.
Last night, the game I really want to talk about is the Blazers.
Okay.
They just destroyed the Utah Jazz. The Jazz have been playing really well. 132-105. What do you think about that box score?
That's a pretty heavy favorite right there.
Lillard and McCollum had 30 points, over 30. McCollum had 30, Lillard 36. The Jazz, even though they had 6 players in double figures, they really had no answer for those two.
Mm-hmm.
The Blazers shot 53% and 50 from three, whereas the Jazz shot 44% and only 32 from three. So there you go.
Yeah.
It's a really good shooting night for Portland. You're going to win a lot of basketball games shooting 50% from three and over 50% from the field. So. Yeah.
Let's talk about getting it done, right?
Mm-hmm. Big time.
There's a lot of improvement going on. Mm-hmm. Seriously, like, we talk about this a lot, that a lot of guys are improving and making this more competitive league, and that's just the case now. It just feels like this league is getting more and more competitive as the years go on.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to look at the upcoming games for James Harden and the Rockets and also for the Los Angeles Lakers with or without LeBron James. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about investing and planning for your retirement. It's always best to get advice from the experts. Best-selling author Harry Dent, America's number one economist, says the dark window is open. There's an opportunity to rapidly boost your retirement savings before the greatest stock market crash in American history. But this dark window won't be open for long. You could make 10 times the annual average stock market gain in just a few short months. According to the research of renowned Harvard economist Harry Dent, though, this window could slam shut later this year and nobody on Wall Street is expecting it. This dark window is something bigger by far than anything he's predicted up to this point, and you can make 10 times the annual average stock market gain. Find out more by going to www.harrydentforecast.com. There is a very short time to take advantage of this dark window, so again, go to www.harrydentforecast.com to learn more.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. We are finishing up now.
Mm-hmm.
Harden's streak of 30-plus point games is still alive at what seems to be 78,000.
Mm-hmm.
And their next game, if I'm not mistaken, is against Denver, which is, I believe, tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow they're playing the Nuggets.
On ESPN.
Which is arguably one of the best defensive teams in the league.
And then they play another really good defensive team on a back-to-back Utah Jazz.
Do you see this 30-point streak ending with one of these games? With these two very good defensive teams?
Yes.
Because I really...
The streak will be over.
Because I think we're agreeing on this because of the fact that he can't handle these two defenses by himself. It's not like any other game. This is a different scenario.
The streak will end.
The streak will die.
It will end. I think it'll end against the Nuggets.
So tomorrow.
Yes.
You don't see it ending on Saturday.
My reasoning is the Nuggets can defend well, and I think Jokic is a really good perimeter defender for a big man, and the Rockets like to run a lot of screens, which gets Harden against the center. And I think Jokic can just disrupt him enough. He's better than most centers at guarding the perimeter. So that's why I think it might happen tomorrow on ESPN.
Wow,
What do you think?
How many points do you think he'll have?
29.
You think he'll be 1 point shy?
1 point.
That's cruel, man.
He'll have 29. Okay. Late in the game, he'll drive, look for a foul, get a no call. Game over.
Okay, that's wow. Okay, that's ballsy.
29.
Okay. I will say it might not end. If it doesn't end in Denver, it will end in Utah. It's going to be one of these two games. And the points he will have will be 27, 26, or 25.
That's okay. So
not 29. Not being as cool as you.
Okay.
He needs at least two possessions or maybe 1-3 to get it.
This is going to be a tough stretch for him, though. I think if he can survive this stretch, then maybe it goes on for a while because he plays the Suns, the Kings, and the Thunder in the next three. And I think that he can continue that streak through those games.
I think he'll be fine through those next games. But he has to go through this hard two-game skid.
Right. So he'll be put to the test. He'll be put to the test. I did want to talk about the Lakers, though, as LeBron James has been ruled out for tonight's game against the Clippers. It is a crucial game as they're next to each other in the standings. In fact, the Clippers are in the 8th seed right now. The Lakers in the 9th seed. So they're next to each other, but no LeBron for tonight. We still don't know when he'll be back. We do expect him back soon, but they have a tough schedule coming up. You want to hear who they play in their next handful of games?
Tell me.
They play the Warriors, the Pacers.
Okay.
The Celtics.
Ouch.
The 76ers.
Ouch.
Then they play the Hawks.
Okay. Good for them.
The Rockets.
Ouch.
The Pelicans.
Yay.
Grizzlies and Pelicans to end the month.
Wow.
But the first 2 weeks of February are very tough for the Los Angeles Lakers.
But those last two games sound lovely.
Pelicans, Grizzlies, Pelicans. Yeah.
Oh, three games?
Yeah.
Oh, those all sound lovely.
But before that, Rockets, the Hawks should be a win. But again, this game is going to be on the road. So you never know.
Mm-hmm.
But they play the Sixers on the road, Celtics on the road, Pacers on the road, Warriors on the road.
Uh-huh. Okay.
After the Clippers. So this is a tough stretch for them. They could easily lose
four or five in a row. This sounds like it's going to not be fun.
They could lose four or five in a row.
They can't afford that, but they
obviously need LeBron back soon. This team has been injury riddled. Obviously, not just LeBron, but Lonzo is out. Rondo is out for a good part of the season. He's back. I think they need LeBron back sooner than later. Obviously, they're still right in the mix, but you don't want to fall behind 3-4 games in the Western Conference. It just makes it extremely difficult to try and make the playoffs. Plus, who really wants to be the 8th seed in the playoffs, right?
They have to play the Warriors?
The 8th seed, yeah.
Who wants to be the Warriors' kicking toy? Whipping boy?
Pretty much.
Doggy toy?
Pretty much.
Target practice?
So let's talk
I got a bunch of these.
Let's talk about some of the big games coming up this weekend. I know you alluded to the Bucks and the Raptors tonight.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple other big games tonight. Lakers-Clippers, like I mentioned, there's another big one. 76ers at Warriors.
76ers. This is a game to prove... This is 76ers need to prove that they can hang with the best team in the NBA. This is a must-compete game. They can't get blown out.
What if they get blown out? Then they're just like everybody else, right?
Yeah, but they... But it's like, oh, they're just in the Eastern Conference. They'll make the Eastern Conference look even bad. Worse than they are now. It just... They need to actually have some sort of competition. They had to be at least, I would say, 5 points in between. You know what I mean? Just have...
They have to lose by 5 or less?
To be considered a contender.
They're underdog by 10 points at this juncture in time.
I'm saying they have to... This is to prove they can be a contender. I'm not saying anything else. I'm not saying
So if they win this game, they're a contender?
I would say so.
Really?
They beat the Warriors?
Beat the Warriors.
I don't think... Were they at full strength?
Well, they didn't have DeMarcus, but they were at full strength other than that.
This team is at complete full strength. This is the full... best team.
But
right
is any
now.
Team that, like, all right, I have a problem with your statement because you can beat the Warriors. You just probably can't beat them 4 times. Like that, you know what I mean? Like, you can get them one night. Like, the Sixers could win tonight. I'm not saying, like, if they won tonight, would that really make them the best team in the NBA or the best team?
I never said that.
No, I'm not saying you said that. Would that make them a contender because they beat the Warriors? Like, they're better than the Bucks or the Raptors all of a sudden because they beat the Warriors one time?
I never said they were better. I said they could hang with them. Like, I am still doubting the 76ers at the moment comparing to the Bucks and Raptors. But if they can handle themselves with the Warriors, I don't know why they can't handle themselves against the Raptors or Bucks. I'm
just
not saying they can beat them.
It's the NBA. Like, it's 82 games. You know, teams win all the time.
But how
teams
dominant
the
Warriors... If they end the Warriors' streak, that's a serious...
It would be a big win. It'd be the biggest win for them on the season. I don't know if it changes like how they're viewed or if they're a contender. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be...
I would say they're looked at differently.
Okay. I mean, it would be a huge win. Their fans would be excited about it. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So tomorrow, the Rockets and the Nuggets on ESPN. Are you going to be watching that game?
I'm just going to be watching, see if he gets 30 points because we already predicted what's going to happen.
It's going to be tough for him. At Nuggets, you know, altitude, Nuggets can play defense a little bit. I think Mike Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, he'll want to take this challenge and try to be the team that stops Harden. I really do. They could do it, or Harden could have 50 and then it'll be silly. So. How about Saturday, though? Lakers at Warriors. Possible LeBron return. Do you see LeBron returning for that game?
It's too talented of a team to come back to. I think he's going to come back to it against a weaker team to really work at it. You know what I mean? Like, to really go... He can't go right into it 150% against the best team in the NBA, you know? I feel like he's going to wait it out.
It is interesting. It would be a tough team to come back to play against for a guy who hasn't played basketball in about... 5 weeks as of now, about almost 6 weeks as of now. So
what's one more game, right?
I think he should probably wait, but maybe he should log a full practice first. That's what I think. Also on Saturday, Rockets at Jazz. Tough little back-to-back for the Rockets. I know we talked about it in terms of Harden, but for the team, that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
How about 76ers at Sacramento on Saturday? That's not an easy game for the Sixers.
Yeah, but I think they're still going to win this one.
Mm-hmm. They could. That would be an interesting game between two above 500 teams. Those are the three games on Saturday where the teams are all above 500. Sunday, Thunder at Celtics. Yes, Super Bowl Sunday, there is basketball on. Will you be watching Thunder at Celtics before the big game on Sunday?
Probably. I probably will. Well, actually.
Thunder at Celtics.
This is Sunday?
Yeah, Super Bowl Sunday.
I'll be watching the pregame stuff.
What about Clippers and Raptors? Neither one of these games is going to take your eyeballs away from the Super Bowl pregame.
When it comes to Super Bowl Sunday, I have a routine, so no.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you my routine, but I have a routine. It's all football. No basketball is going to be in my mind.
Will you watch these basketball games after the...
I'll probably watch the highlights, sure.
All right. Well, that's what we have on deck for this week. I actually will check out the Thunder and the Celtics. Maybe the Clippers and Raptors, too. I am interested in seeing these teams play. Nice little blend of styles, too. Thunder at Celtics, Clippers and Raptors. Interesting. Other than that, I think we are done for the day. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I'm good. Tomorrow we'll... Actually, we won't be here tomorrow, but tune in tomorrow for our sports, football,
Tuesday
and fantasy football.
For our next basketball.
Yes, but if you want to tune in for our Super Bowl predictions and podcasts, tune in to sports, football, and fantasy football, because that's going to be all about, we're all going to be about Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow. As always, I'm Jeff Malinoff. That's Mark Souza. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.